Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Okay, can everybody hear me now? All right. I want to thank all of you guys for being amazing here and waiting it out. There was a technical glitch in the studio, and it's just my luck on my first day back. This is what would happen. However, let me welcome myself back to you and welcome you back with me. Let me start off as doing what we must do at all times. Thank God for being here. And I want to say that I thank all of you for your continuous inbox get well wishes during my medical hiatus. I want to thank all of you for sticking it out and constantly telling me that this is a show worth waiting for, because we try. And I definitely want to let you know that you guys are cherished in every aspect of the word. You guys are cherished to me. So now, with that being said, got to have some important things to get out the way. You guys know some local shout-outs to some local heroes, and these are the people who are in your community on a daily basis, working fast food jobs, working street public jobs, all the things that people like to disrespect and look down on or discount. But at the end of the day, these are jobs that need to get done, and they're the ones doing it. I want to say thank you, because these people have done critical things in small measures that have been making big impacts, and I definitely have to thank God first, as I said, for having the opportunity to be back here. I want to thank everybody on this panel that has been sitting here waiting through the dead air. Thank you so much for that. So starting out with this, I'm going to make this as quickly as possible. First of all, thanking our amazing guest tonight, life coach Ema Cook. You guys must know her as a TikTok rising sensation with the F Them Kids video, which, by the way, guys, after I get these shout-outs out the way and I bring her in, I've got to tell you, I am outraged about something that just took place between the time I've been promoting her and now. So just to let you know systemically that anything worth talking about, somebody tries to shut it down. So let's get started with the local hero shout-outs. From Olive Garden in Elmhurst, Queens, I have to thank Brianna, Gianna, Crystal, and super shout-out to Xavier for making my impromptu birthday celebration for my son a success, and with extra over the top customer service. Paramedics Francis, Gordon, and Ochoa from the New York EMT division, thank you for saving my son, who nearly had an anaphylactic disaster to an allergic reaction to a food. Thank you all very much. Christina Vera, Uber driver, Brooklyn, New York, thank you very much for going above and beyond your way to help people who are disabled, elderly, and in need, constantly spreading your joy and positivity. To Nick McVie and Trey in Dew's Barbershop in Brooklyn, thank you for making the children that come through your shop part of a village, and for encouraging them and spreading positivity. Jonathan Ellaby and Muhammad Sila, you guys are also men going out there in the world that you're in, spreading positivity, spreading encouragement. Thank you very much. And Muhammad, for being my brother from another mother at all times. Terry Banks, I know you're in this somewhere. You have been with me almost since the start of this thing. Thank you for everything that you put out and do all the time and never let me go up, down, or around in my sorrows or my fears. Thank you for that. Laquay Jewell, Cylon Washington, Kim Milton, you as well on this On the Edge journey. Thank you very much at all times for doing that. Delasia, my daughter from another mother. My sister, Sunita, who's also my home health aide. I'm going to thank my neighbor, Jeanette, who's been helping me through this as well. Luna, Call Place Guitar, for making this, my little kids in your place feel good. Jason and the gang from Square Studios in Long Island City. And then my doctor's office, because they have been making all this journey and my fears of this go through. Roseanne, Nika, and the gang in South Shore Associates, thank you very much. With that being said, everyone, I also want to thank my On the Edge Network listening family, because like I said, things like this, impromptu technicalities, you guys stick through it all. So today, let's get to what we are going to be doing, because I have to catch you up. As you know, my live video yesterday, we're talking about the fact that parents, the one of the most incomparable jobs that's out there, the job with no manual, the job with no training leeway, the job with no help, no sick days for mama, no understanding, just get in there and figure it out. But yet we're held to the most outrageous standards from people who don't know us but have plenty of things to say. Today's parenting, as I said in my video yesterday, is nothing short of a gangbang, a gang attack on parents of today. Now, fathers of the world, you are included in this, because parents that are involved with their children have to go through so much. But just to let you know, what we're about to talk about tonight is the pressures that are put on parents, but moms get it extra, because mothers are the one of the two parents that is the one known to nurture, to take in, to just embrace, to give up anything, to cry, to go through it, to never give up, no matter how bad or smart or nasty the person has been. And with that being said, because we do this, society tends to think that that means if you could do it because you choose to do it, then that's what you should do. So I'm going to give you a couple examples of what we mean. We're supposed to, as parents, understand that as kids get older, they're going to lash out because they don't have the maturity to speak words of wisdom and understanding and conflict resolution. We're supposed to understand that when they get out and go do something that we tell them, please don't do because you're going to get hurt or you're going to be in danger, and they do it anyway and get caught, that when they get caught, we're supposed to not yell at them or get in trouble or be upset with them. This is what they believe because they're children. But why is a bunch of grown unknowns in a place called society and the government telling letting these kids believe in this day and age that that's what's supposed to happen? So in other words, we moms, let's talk about moms, because usually it's the mother that's in the house. Moms got to figure it all out. We've got to be multi-hat wearers to learn how to be counselors, nurses, cheerleaders. We have to learn how to, you know, you guys, as I always say in my little jokes, you guys were the cavemen that used to slay the big dragons, but we had to figure out how to make that bloody heat something worth giving to our families. And we had to make sure it was sanitary and tasty and appealing and filling and something that we feel our royal family is worth having. But then we have to deal with the dishes. And, oh, my God, you didn't put enough salt on it. Oh, my goodness, this is horrible. Who has this? And we have to smile through it. That's what society says. But here's the problem. What happens nowadays, at least back in our day, us as parents, our era, we did have a village that allowed us, our society, that gave us a help a little bit about preserving the importance of childhood innocence, meaning allow a child to have as much fun as possible because the real world was going to come on them sooner than they expected anyway. So let them have a little fun. Let us take over and protect you. Let us be responsible for a little while we teach you how to get there to that step. But today, we don't have that protection or that backup from society anymore. And we've talked about this for years on end now. But let's talk about this. Society is telling your children, hey, come here. Hey, go have sex. Don't tell your parents. Don't worry, because we don't want you to get beat up when your parents find out. Okay? And if you get pregnant and you don't want to have it, go to the abortion clinic. We'll now take you without parental consent. And guess what? Go to the library, go to the front desk in your school's office, and you could see condoms and any sort of contraception you want. Pick a color. Pick a style, any style. You know what? You don't even need your parents' permission anymore. And if you come to us, the Planned Parenthood Clinic, and you're under the age of 18, we'll even tell you all about it and school you without your parents. But wait. If the abortion goes bad and you need some help, we can't treat you till you go get your mother because you're underage. Wait a minute. If you have holes in your uterus because them pills or that IUD didn't do well, wait a minute. We can't touch you. Got to go get your parents. And wait a minute. If you get angry because there's a chemical imbalance from all that and you start getting rage mad on the world and kill somebody, where were your parents to make sure that didn't happen? Wait a minute. Parents don't hit your kids. Parents don't say things like this. And now you want to send them mutants that you built out of chemical overreaction, out of too much access without wisdom and without understanding, too much sex, too much hyper vulgarism, too much profanity, not enough restrictions, not enough holding in place, and you gave them the right to go call a number if they didn't like the fact that their parents told their little 13-year-old self they can't go to a 20-year-old party. They don't like that, so they say, I know how to get them. I'll go tell ACS she hit me. I'll go tell ACS my father touched me. It's not true, but they'll find that out a month later, but I'll still get to go to my party. See? All done. And by the way, Mom, I hate you. By the way, Dad, you suck. By the way, I'm going to go get drugs and there's nothing you could do about it because the law says I could go do it. See, well, that works. And we're supposed to take that. And when we cry and we're supposed to internalize it and go into a door and we can feel it, but we're not allowed to politically say it or to say it out loud because guess what? Society says, how dare you? So now, I'm going to cut my commentary down right here because tonight's episode is about how society has these unrealistic and ridiculous standards of following some rule that, by the way, they put rules on a job that is unlike any other on this world. Nothing compares to it. Nothing can replicate it. And it has no rules. It has no manuals. You've got to figure it out. But yet these people, who most of them are men that's never carried a baby, and are not fathers, and I'm not speaking about those of you that have been a village because you count as parents. I'm talking about the ones that's never had a child. I'm talking about the ones that hasn't ever stopped to even raise a niece or nephew or help with a neighbor's child. But they're in some political office telling you what to do about your children. They're not in your home to understand that you screamed at your child 50 times trying to keep them from hurting themselves. And your child has said, the law says I don't have to do it. And if you touch me, I'll call ACS. So they tell you what you can do after making the mess that you didn't ask for, that you didn't tell them to come in. They tell your kids, go in there and become hellions and do whatever it is that you have to do. But guess what? When you make a mess of yourself, go back to your parents. But parents, you can't do anything about it because if you do too much, you're in trouble. And then we understand you're going to get burned out. We understand that you feel horrible. We understand that your baby who you stayed in awake at night when they had 103 fever or you waited in your body for 46 hours to give birth to them told you that you are the worst thing since garbage and feces altogether. But you know what? You can't say that you're burned out because you're mom. You can't say that because you're the father. Society says. Well, guess what? Tonight we have a few words for you. Dear society, please shut up. You are not in my home. You are not there to care if the mess you put on our child leads them down the road that parents have forever been trying to stop them from happening. You gave them the right to have experience or the right to access something they weren't prepared for, not according to any child psychologist, not according to the way that natural laws happen. You're telling them they can have sex before they even understand what breasts are. You're telling them they can have babies before they even understand how their testicles work. But you're sitting up there and saying to us, we need to be quiet about it when we're watching the most precious thing on earth to us after God and ourselves, even above ourselves, are being led down a road of destruction and probably the end of their lives. So for that, as a mom of a community, that biologically it's a joke. I have a community of my own. Then I'm a community mom. Then I'm a community podcaster trying to make sure that we spread something different in this mess that society has made. And I'm telling you to shut up. Now, Ima, I see you on there, baby. Please be right with me because a couple of other things I got to say, and then it's right on with us because I'm supporting you, and I'm going to tell you why, listeners. This woman's video, and half of you have already told me that you've seen it and you've been inspired by it. Because this woman has spoken the truth, and a couple of people who trolled her possibly because they are those parents that either steal everything that she has reported it for guideline purposes. Now her video has been removed from TikTok and it can't be accessed. Don't worry, we have the other way it can be. But if you've seen it, every one of you have sat back there and said, you know what, I feel your pain, sis, because I was going through that myself. If you are a parent and you have managed to parent your children through the age of milestones up until adulthood, and you can sit here and say with a straight face that there has never been a time in your life that your child has said something where you have had a few seconds to say, you know, what just came out your mouth makes me want to choke you for about 2 seconds in the heat of the moment that you're feeling that hurt and that heartbreak and that frustration. If you've never felt a moment where, ooh, boy, ooh, I have to, just for 2 seconds, I got to take a couple of breaths. If there wasn't a time in your life that you felt like a failure because everything you've done, that one little person grew up and said, I don't care about all that stuff you did. It doesn't mean anything now. What have you done for me lately? Now. Where you felt like, ooh, if I would have known you would have said that now, maybe if I would have went back in the time that you were about to get here, I would have changed my mind. And she said, F them kids. She said, F them kids. And then if you listen to the rest of the content, you could say, oh, I get it. Because you know some point in time, you feel that way in that moment. Does that mean that you're actually saying get rid of them kids? Isn't there a time that you feel like, boy, if there was a bridge here, I'd push you over? If you did, then you'd be the first one jumping in right after them to make sure they didn't hit the bottom. So all of you that came at her, you need to stop. And I, for one, am telling you, Ima, I got your back, and so did the rest of us who supported you. So with that being said, let me get to the next part. All of you that were here on my last podcast last year, you guys heard a couple of samples from two twin brothers. At the time, they were 14 when they made the video, when they made the songs. Now they have been actively, you know, extending and honing their craft, and now they're becoming further up along the ladder in equipment and producing and mixing and writing and expressing themselves through the most amazing music. They are my sons, but I am not speaking at this moment as their mom. I am speaking as someone who has been in awe listening to them when the finished products come out. These are boys that are trying to spread positivity while society is telling them to be nothing, to do nothing, to be whatever and mess yourself up. These are guys trying to tell you, adults are saying that they care about what we're going through, but this is mental illness from our perspective, and this is what we need, but no one's giving it to us. This is the struggles we're going through, but we don't know where to go because everyone's saying, hey, if you're feeling sad, you must need medication, not guidance. Everything that you will hear, you heard in a couple of songs back then. Tonight, I am officially, as their mom and their manager, presenting their latest and music and products to the world tonight on the show. So every break that we go to, you will hear a new song from this group called Untitled. They will explain all about why they came up with these things when we have their interview coming. In the meantime today, let's get to this. Got to go to our sponsors. I'm going to have our first song by Untitled called The Other Me. From what they've explained to me, it is that people who look through them, who bully them because they assume they know who they are, and don't understand that if they keep pushing them, they might get something that they don't know. They might get something that they don't know. They might get more than they asked for, and they may not like what's happening. So tonight is Miss Ima Cook telling society to shut the hell up. Untitled, to let you know what they're about and what they're trying to do. A word from our sponsor, and Ima Cook is going to be on the line with me as soon as we get back. Thank you all for going through this with me and for being there because you guys are cherished. So just give me 2 seconds. We're going to start off with Untitled first, then a word from our sponsor. Here is Untitled with the Other Me featuring their guest artist, Cinnabon. Be right back in about 3 seconds, 3 minutes.
Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. That was The Other Me with Untitled featuring Cinnabon. And now it's time to bring in the queen of the hour, life coach Ema Cook. You have seen her on TikTok. She is a voice now for, she has now become the official voice for all of us stressed out parents. And I'm going to bring her in. While we come in, everyone who decides to join in tonight, you have to call the number 347-327-9967. You have to press 1 so we know you want to talk. And without further ado, let me welcome Ema Cook to the panel. Welcome to the show, Ema. Are you there?
I am here. Hey, Katie, how are you doing?
Hi, my love. Thank you. Thank you for, you know, sticking through this, my first day back after a while. And, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, you had to deal with that. But I am honored as all riches right now that you're here. You know, I instantly became your fan from the first day I saw what you said. I happened to fall on it right as I was going through thinking about that and falling on this topic. So I'm going to give you the floor. The first thing I would like to ask you is, one, please tell our listeners what inspired you to come up with it, what you do, and let's go from there.
Okay, so hello, everybody. Everybody listening, I'm so honored to be here. Thank you, Katie, for having me. Thank you for asking me to be here. I'm humbled by this whole situation. I made a video in the space of something I was feeling. I got into an argument with my son, one of my sons, my oldest son, and his response to me asking him to be responsible for something that he did was, "I hate you and everything about you." And I didn't react. I didn't get upset. I was sitting there and I was just like, he said that to me? Like, you know, it took me a minute because I was like, what? He said that to me? Like, I had asked myself a couple of times, but it hurt, not because I believe that he really hates me, but just the fact that he would fix his mouth to say it because I was expecting him to be responsible for a situation he put himself in. And I definitely don't think that everybody should have to express themselves with cuss words all the time. It's just that sometimes I think that you're in the space and it just be this what it is, F this. And that's where I was. It was F these kids, and I said it as a collection, but it wasn't about all of my children at one time. And I think you said something very, very profound in your opening. You said, you know, it's time you want to throw your kids off a bridge, but you're going to be the first one to jump in behind them to save them. And it's kind of like that. It breaks your heart to think about not being there for them. But the whole premise of the video wasn't about throwing up in anybody's face what I sacrificed or gave up to be a mom. It wasn't about making excuses for any wrongs I had done. It wasn't about justifying any wrongs I have done. It wasn't about that. It was about having an expectation for my adult children to behave in a way that they have been taught to behave and respect my boundaries or to stay away from me. That's all it was. Everybody getting upset like, oh, you shouldn't have had kids. Oh, you shouldn't have did this. And you throwing it up in their face. And it wasn't about that. It was just about you are going to have to come to the table with the same level of respect that I give. And if you're unable to do that, I'm going to have to love you from over there. And
absolutely.
I don't know why the world has gotten or has it in their head that, oh, these are my children, I have to stay connected. That's not correct. You should love yourself enough to enact boundaries that anybody, children, parents, siblings, spouse, anybody that damages you, that causes damage to you, that abuses and mistreats you, that you have the right. Everybody has the right to say, I refuse to deal with that. So you're going to have to do that from over there. And that's all it was for me.
Good for you. And you know something? I think, see, I'm speaking from your supporter side. And please, I know that them taking down the video, like that ticked me off. Because it's so important. You said something that mothers and fathers all over the world, and more so mothers, not because like you definitely made it clear in your video, and anyone who has been on this journey with me know that I salute our men. I salute our good men because no one else will. But it the hard fact of it is that whatever hang-ups or penalties they're going to put on what they consider bad parenting by their stupid standards, they're going to let men get off the hook a little quicker than they will a mother. because the mother is usually the one that takes in the abandoned children, whether it's from her womb or not. The mother is the one that usually sticks through it. When a father is like, nope, he's going to have to learn on his own, a mother will be like, no, let's help him a little further, or cheat and, you know, give him a little push. And so society tends to think that if we're the nurturers, we're not human beings. And that's something that you keep promoting, you know, in your content, is something that I'm saying as well. They tend to forget that the role of parent originated after the role of human.
That's right. That's
and
right.
You're saying that correct. So what do you do? I know that you congratulations on your certification, ma'am.
Thank you so very much.
You're very welcome. You be proud. I want to tell you, from listeners that has inboxed me before the show to let me know that, you know, what a profound thing you've done. I know moms in the circle that I run with. Thank you. I told you that when I first got to see you, and thank you. You are tremendous in everything that you are doing, just being. You are tremendous. And thank you for that, because you do allow us moms to understand we have a right to say. We don't have to accept that from the kids that we put aside everything for just to ensure their little life was safe. We're the ones that had to deal with the 52 pokes for Down syndrome tests and making sure we didn't have high sugar and watching our bodies change and our hair is never the same. Do you understand that they don't understand that before they had their eyes blinking out of their sleep, we were up solving 8 problems they don't even know happened.
That's right. That's right. I always say a mother is the most underappreciated job in the world. And your appreciation, your joy doesn't necessarily come from your children. It comes from just the fact to be able to watch something that you carried in your body and you had grow and become who they're supposed to be. I would definitely say I'm not delusional, right? So I definitely understand that there are aspects of my children's life that I am responsible for. Like, my children are spoiled beyond I don't know what. I did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not blaming anybody else for that. I did that. But if we as a society do not realize that the ready access that we have to the internet and the things that are shown and the things that are just pushed on. Like, I think about when I was growing up, like, you had to have HBO After Dark to see anything, any kind of sexual scene on the TV. People were barely kissing. You know what I'm saying? But these days, you can see anything on the TV. There is nothing restricted. And it's just, it's one of those things that we have become, we have accepted things that really should be unacceptable. And it doesn't matter how much input you have in your child's life. If you're not going to live in a bunker and not allow them any outside, they're not going to go to school, they're not going to go to church, they're not going to go out, they're not going to have friends. That is the only way that you as a parent will be solely responsible for the impressions that press upon them. There is no way. It's no way, because no matter what you do in your house, when you send your child out, they go to school with, it's 25 kids in the class who all come from different kinds of houses, who all come from different kinds of experience, different things are going on. So even if it's something you never do in your house, it very well your child might know about, or not might, will know about and will experience things that you don't even know. It's scary to me, the amount of things that I know my children, my grandchildren experienced that I couldn't even fathom, I couldn't even understand. But it's just the state of the world that we live in.
That is one of my biggest, and like I said, I have a regular guests that come here to listen, and I'm going to tell you, like, when I saw your video, I'm like, this woman is walking in my head right now, and she's talking from what's playing in my head. That's always been one of my most biggest, I guess, pet peeves about the changes in society. You're right. Remember I Love Lucy, Ricky Ricardo? They were a real-life married couple with a real-life pregnancy going on. They were married on the show, but on the show they slept in two separate beds. When she got pregnant, they didn't say pregnant. They said with child. They said having a baby. They said expecting. There was a time where from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., all you saw on the TV was snow.
That's right.
Or please stand by. You know, that's all you saw. You're right. That's one of the things that I put in our opening statements and in the opening summary here. We as our generation, we had the little added, you know, feeble but critical cushion of somebody else outside of your parents looking out for us to a point. The nosy neighbor. I had one lady, I say this all the time, Mrs. Finkelstein, this was her name. And by the way, she wasn't Jewish. It sounds Jewish. She wasn't. This woman could not see or hear anything said or done in front of her, 15 feet in front of her or 4 inches in front of her. But she knew everybody's business from her window on the second floor from down the road at the corner on the deli. She could tell you what you said in private while you were whispering and what you did. But if you were standing in front of her, huh? What? I don't understand. But she did. We couldn't stand her as young kids, of course. She was nosy. Told your parent everything. Well, I don't know why you let her walk outside with those purple shorts. They're kind of a little tight. She's not very small in the back, so you know it's going to – and you're just looking at her like, lady, if you don't shut up, oh, my God, mind your business. You couldn't say that out loud in our day. But you're like, mind your business. Oh, my God. I remember one time one of my friends was walking with me. She was like, oh, my God, how that lady is blind in person, but she can see everybody's business from down the road. By the way, my friend said that when we were downstairs on the ground on the thing, she comes up from the second floor window and screams out, you know why? Because I can see what I got to see, and you need to mind your business, fast one. Now, with that being said, I was like, oh, my God, she must be the bionic woman. She has bionic hearing. That's what we said at 14. But one day, okay, I was never a person to hang on corners. I was writing and everything. Instead of playing double dutch, I was writing plays and stuff. But I'll tell you this. My mom sent me to the store. We needed to get something for dinner. I had the Walkman headphones on my head the first time Walkmans came out. It was the first time that my cheap father ever bought anything, and I got this thing. So I was listening to all my choreography music in headphones. And it was just around the time in summer when 8 o'clock was just about to be dark, where, you know, the shadows on certain things started to set in. And I'm walking up this quiet block from the corner store, and Miss Finkelstein was waving her arms real crazy, and I'm ready to roll my eyes like, what does this old lady want? No, right? But she's like, get up in here. Come on up in here now. I told you that you keep forgetting to bring my things. So I'm sitting there like, oh, gosh, she has dementia now too? What things? She didn't tell me to get. She's like, get in here. Sure enough, she pulls me into her lobby, and I don't think that old lady could run. I had never seen an old lady with arthritis run a meter marathon the way that lady did. But I'll tell you one thing. This is part of the village we grew up in. She pulled me into a hallway, closed the door because it's one of those you got to buzz in only doors. She said, child, you need to be careful. Now, I know I give you the business when I see you, but you are one of those kids that is a good kid. Let me tell you something. You didn't notice it. You had them things on your ears. You need to stop walking around with them things in your ears. But what you didn't know was that there was some man that was hiding and ducking along the cars as following you as you walking on the sidewalk. He's on the other side of the cars ducking and hiding. Okay, and what I saw him have was a knife and a rope. Turns out that guy was wanted for 16 rapes in my neighborhood, and the cops couldn't find him. And I was almost a victim until that nosy old lady who couldn't see a damn thing in front of us, in front of her with her telescope glasses, but could hear everything down the road. That was the village, the nosy neighbor we all hated. That was a critical fix for me. Our children don't have that.
That's right.
So I want to say this to you. As if I'm not a mom, just to let you know what you said and what you need to understand about praising yourself in this moment, sis. You said something about I spoiled my child. Yes, I did. Let me tell you something. You did that out of love, and I know exactly where it came from because we didn't have it. We were restricted from many things. We didn't understand why adults said things. Sometimes the adults said it because they were teaching us a lesson, and sometimes the adults said it because they just didn't want to damn be bothered, and that's the truth. But when you spoiled your kids, you didn't do it because you expected it was going to penalize them. You did it out of love, thinking you were making them happy. If you made, you were the only one that were responsible for all those kids, and you got them to the point where they got to grow up to have that mouth to be a weapon, then you know something. Like you said, you did everything you could, and you're not mad at them. You gave them the right to have a choice and make a decision, right? But with great decisions and choices comes great responsibility. You can come out your mouth and say something to me in your day and age, but then you have a consequence that follows, bro.
That's right. I think the problem with the multitude or the naysayers, or as I call them, my soapboxers, I think the problem is that they see everything as one blanket fix across the board, or one category. Like, my video is not for everybody, okay? Like, everybody who has had a child is not a mother. And people tend to see the video through their lens of unresolved childhood trauma or unresolved childhood issues. So when they see it, they're unable to even hear what I'm saying. That's why you have a group of people who, like, yes, I understand. You in my head, I had the same conversation. Because it didn't matter what I said, or even I had people who was like, you didn't have to curse so much. It's some people who were able to receive it because they were receiving it from a different lens. They were able to see it through a different lens. But if I have these issues with my parent and I have never addressed it, and then I have this issue with my mom who abandoned me as a child, and I've never addressed it or dealt with that, and then I see this woman on here saying F her kids, is going to trigger me. And I understand that. Like, I don't have a problem. I think I told you, I don't have a problem with a differing of opinion. I'm all for that. I'm all for anybody who can stand up and say, I disagree, and this is what I think. I respect that, because just like my story, my experience, the way I feel is valid for me, how they feel is valid for them. Just because I have this feeling and this is how I feel about my kids, it doesn't have to ring true for everybody to be true for me. And I don't know why the day and age we're in and people feel like I have to be able to understand exactly what you're saying for it to be true for you. That's incorrect. Like, we have to be able to respect people where they are and what they're going through and how they feel, with the understanding that we don't have to agree. I don't know why people think that you have to be in agreement or you have to be supporting what somebody said in order to respect the fact that they have the right to feel however they do. And it's one of those things that it has spilled over into everything. That's why you say society shut up. It has spilled over into everything. And I was honestly, I say it all the time, like, I was honestly heartbroken by the sheer number of inbox messages I got, by the number of comments, like, I'm going through this. And I'm like, dang. I had one lady tell me, like, I couldn't imagine speaking this. And I said, that's because we live in a day and age when people be more worried about what someone else thinks about them than being able to fully live in their truth. And I don't understand that. Like, that has never been me. Like, I don't care. I told the lady, I said, I don't mind being the poster boy. Like, I did not make this video or post this video with the mind state or the eye or even the thought that it would do what it has done. No way I would have been prepared to even, my mind didn't even go that far to think like, okay, I'm gonna make this video and I'm gonna have all these people. Because for me, it's not about going viral. For me, it's not about being TikTok famous. Because my life is way more than that, right? But for me, it was about being able to speak my truth, and then a thousands of people reaching out like, me, I'm going through this too. Can you help me? I had so many people messaging me. I had so many people wanting to get on the phone with me, hold me on the phone for a long time. And because of who I am, I want to be able to give everybody the attention. Like, I want to give whatever I can give, help wherever I can help. And even if that ain't nothing but a, I hear you, I understand, I'm sorry you're going through that, I love you. Like, you don't never know what one person might need. So I tried to be that. But it was never about, I'm blown away when you say I'm a phenomenon, because I don't feel like that. I'm just being me. This is just me every day. I don't have a fear of standing up and saying, this is who I am, this is how I feel, and you don't really have to like it. Like, deal with it or don't. That's kind of where I'm at with everything. That's why I'm able to have the clap back. That's why I'm able to come back with these videos and tell
yes,
people
you did.
It's fun. Yeah, that's why I can come back with a response. So I can clap back because, like I said in one of my videos, what people eat don't make me shit. Excuse my mouth, but it just doesn't. So I'm not going to live my life based off of what you think I need to do or how I need to feel or what I need to accept. Society will not tell me that I need to accept being beat upon to feel like I'm loved by my children. I'm not doing that. So it doesn't matter to me who doesn't agree.
Well, I knew you were going to say that, and I'm going to tell you why about the when you said phenomenon sensation. Sweetie, unfortunately, that is exactly what you are. I know they took the video down, but and I don't even think that was the first one that was originally posted. I think that was one of the reposts. And on that repost, do you know what your numbers were in shares?
No.
Your numbers were 250,000 shares, reposts. That they took down.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I'm saying that to you, and I think the reason why you are so intense or such a presence or so tremendous in your presence is because you weren't looking for that. Because, you know, the biggest masterpieces come from accidents or from, you know, from something random. Let me tell you something. I immediately saw how humbled you were. You were like, I did not think, what? And I saw you, and each and every time, you were like, what? But then equally, you had the trolls that were up there that was equally as overwhelming. However, even with every one of them that I saw, I still saw more support for you. And there's a few men who were, I forwarded it to, that were telling me, sis got it on point. Sis got it on point.
I had aunts, uncles, dads, grandmothers, grandfathers. I think the video before they took it down had 1.4 3 million views, but it had like 19,500 comments. And it might have been, it was less than 100 that was the trolls or the angry people. And I mean, it kind of got to the point where I wasn't even aggravated by the trolls or the angry people anymore, because it was obvious that they didn't even listen, because their argument was nothing that I said. Like, I don't even respect that. Like, if you have a real issue with something that's being said and you can articulate that, let's talk about it. I'm cool with that. But when your only argument is kids didn't ask to be here, who does? Like, that nobody asked to be here. Like, so what? Neither did I. Like, I don't really have an answer for that. Like, that tells me that you didn't hear nothing I said. Or you shouldn't throw things in your kid's face that you had to sacrifice. I never said that I did. I began to remind myself of all that I had done when they were children. I didn't even go into what I still do to this day, and my oldest is 28. So I didn't talk about none of the stuff I'm still doing. I just reminded myself of all the things that I had done for these little ungrateful somethings when they were children, and this one had the nerve to fix his mouth and say this to me. I was really, I was shocked. I was shocked and appalled. Like, what? You talking to me? And I just couldn't, it was the audacity was at an all-time. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, you can't be talking to me. So for me, that's what it was. I was really, like, blown away. And everybody was like, I see your hurt and I see your pain. Yes, it is hurtful for people that you love unconditionally, that you bend over backwards for, that you give everything, that you have never given up on, that you have never walked away from, never turned your back on, always been there for them through their rights and their wrongs, to feel like they should, or feel like it is okay for them to talk to you in a way that you deem to be disrespectful. And I tell everybody, like, my level of disrespect might not match yours, or what I deem to be disrespectful might not match yours. But mm-hmm. I believe in communicating with everybody what my expectation is, what I feel to be disrespectful, what I deem to be disrespect. There is nobody in my life that can tell you, that can say, oh, I don't know what's going to offend her. It's very well understood, because I believe in having mutually understood consequences for actions. I want you to understand that if you violate my boundaries, the consequences, you cannot be a part of my life. So it's never going to be a question. So if you want to act in a way that says, I don't care about anything, you have to understand that for every action, there is an equal or greater reaction. And my reaction is distance. Because stress is the number one killer in black women, black people. Where you be having heart attacks, strokes. I don't want to sign up for none of that. Like, I like food, so I eat, right? So I need to pick my battles. So I'm not taking stress. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to keep eating how I want. I need to lose some weight. So until I'm ready to do that, I want to eat how I want. And I don't want to take on something that's stressful to my life, that's stressing my heart out, that's going to cause me to leave away from here way before I'm ready because somebody else's behavior. I'm not doing that.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I'm all for you on that one. I was, but the whole time you were talking, I had like my imaginary pom poms going rah rah. She's right. Let me. There's just a couple of things I want to ask of you. When you were talking, you were kind of going in and out, so I want you to keep the yourself a little closer to the phone so that everybody could hear every word you're saying. You know, there was something you kept saying when you in your clap back videos to the trolls, when you said, why don't you just, like, if you don't like something that I'm saying, you can just look and scroll on, you know? I have a little saying here, and I bet you if all my regulars were on tonight, they'd probably say it in unison with me. This is a viewpoint show. You had to see how many people I've had when I first was starting this, because I've got a pair of headphones with a mic in it. The reason why you guys heard so much silent stuff is because my son's eloquently set up a whole professional podcast and mixer equipment stuff, and for the life of me, I didn't know how to handle the controls at all. So I'm sitting here like, hey, welcome to the show, Corley, and no one heard a damn thing. But my thing is this. I am a viewpoint show. I talk about things on a level that these will be censored on mainstream TV, or, you know, those people that feel it but they can't say it out loud because you have to be quaffed when you say certain things. You know, no, I don't work that way. And I don't just talk about it from the angle that the newspapers talk about something. I talk about the underlying problem, and then I want to talk about what solutions can we come up with after we're talking about it. My motto on here is, before I start everything, disclaimer first is that this is a viewpoint show. People that come on here that say something doesn't necessarily mean I think that. However, if I have an angle on the topic and it doesn't apply to you, let's say, if I'm talking about, you know, bad mothers or bad dads or, you know, guys that cheat or women that cheat, and you're not a cheater, or you're not a bad mother, then you should be listening to what I'm saying is the problem and the solution and not be offended to have something to say. Or kindly scroll over and pick another podcast. You can do that. Like you said, the choice for your boundaries. You have the right to interact with people the way you feel safe and comfortable interacting, as long as you don't disrespect their rights to feel the same way.
Correct.
So nothing. Let me tell you something, sis. You have been given something you may not have asked for, but you are now an icon is not the word I'm looking for. You are now a voice. You are a platform. And that's going to put you in the crosshairs of people. Those internet trolls, by the way, I was reading their comments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only did they argue about something you never said at all, but those are probably, and I will guarantee you, if you polled them anonymously, those are probably those very parents that feel that same way but are so scared to say it for fear of what other people think, like you said. We have the right, the same way I tell my teenagers, when they tell me, you're telling me not to smoke, but you did, that's exactly why I could tell you not to smoke, because now I'm wearing oxygen because of it, or because I'm coughing and I have heart disease. You understand? So I know where it's going. I can speak from experience, something you don't have much of right now. Secondly, when you do something, teenagers usually don't want to come and tell their parents they got in trouble because that parent loved them so much that they constantly drilled in their head, this is not what you're allowed to do. This is not something you should be doing. If you do this, it's only going to go there. It, no matter how cute it starts in the beginning, it only goes one way and it ends up in one destination. But now they went and they broke the rule, or they went and they went behind your back and did it anyway, despite whatever. They fear you, but not in a scared way. They fear you out of respect for what you're going to say, or disappointment, or I told you so, or I'm going to get in trouble. So they want to mess up, and they want to talk to you, but they want to talk to you without getting in trouble. But you're not ill mentally. You don't have a developmental disorder. You understood this, but you're a kid. We understand that, but you have to understand, nobody is going to have your back more than I will. But because I love you, and because I know that this thing you did is going to take away from something that's going to be the best for you, you have to give me a time and the right to react and be upset. Because after I cry, and after I yell, and after I scream, I'm going to go in that corner, I'm going to cry a little more, I'm going to get quiet, then I'm going to come here, I'm going to scoop you up, and I'm going to be every bit of backup you'll ever need through whatever
that's
you're
right.
going through.
That's right.
But you don't get to have your cake and eat it too. And all the naysayers out there that have the nerve to say something, half of them are probably people who haven't had a child a day in their life. And I don't just mean, because I want to make sure that I respect those village people out there that don't have children but will gladly help children in the village and still be a village. I'm talking about those that want to party all day and would scream at a toddler because they have a hangover and the kid is only being 3 years old and only doing what a three-year-old understands to do. But will be the first person saying, that child is running back and forth all day. I got a headache. What's the mama and the daddy doing? Being the parents of a toddler?
That's right.
Right? So that's the thing. But these are the people that are up in legislative office making legislative decisions about things they'll never, ever, ever be able to say that they experience, understand, or even third party can understand.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
but
you said something,
mm-hmm.
and I thought about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you say a lot of the comments was about, people. I wouldn't imagine saying that. And, you know, it was a lot of naysayer comments that I actually was in agreement with when my kids was little. Like, when I had little kids, like, they did not act any kind of way. They were perfect angels, because they were scared that I would beat them. I don't know what but they behaved perfectly. It's still people now tell me how well-behaved they are even now. But
uh-huh.
It doesn't change the fact that you – like, you know, I had the one lady, I raised my kids right. And I'm just like, everybody thinks that. Everybody thinks that what they did was the right thing. But I feel like if you, as a parent, have not questioned a decision you made, have not questioned your ability to parent your children, have not sat in the corner and cried by yourself feeling overwhelmed, tired, wanting to give up, like, I can't really believe that you really are a parent. There is no way you can be fully ready to have a child. Like, that, I think, was the worst comment after we didn't ask to be here. Like, you shouldn't have had a child when you are ready. Ready how? Because I can have every pimp I ever need as a child go through. I can have every kind of clothes and size from 0 to 14, whatever they're going to need till they get to high school. It doesn't matter how prepared you think you are. Something is going to come along that there is nothing that you have ever experienced in your life that could prepare you for that. You will be lost. You will be crying. You'll be trying to read something. You'll be running around looking crazy, pulling your hair out, because that's
uh-huh.
what parenting is. It's a shot in the dark. You can read a book, and you can try and do everything that the book tells you, and that might not work for your children. And that's what people fail to realize, that it's not a cookie cutter response. So I don't know why people think that it can be one answer that covers everything when it comes to being a parent, because that's not feasible. Like, it doesn't work like that. Everything is different. Just like every single person is different, has different experiences, have different backgrounds, have different mind states. Some people, like you said, are dealing with mental health issues. Some people have developmental problems. It's all sorts of things that would change. And, you know, I definitely have said on the video, I had my children young, but as I got older, I took a parenting class. Because I feel like I didn't know everything and I wanted to know more. And I can't sit here in front, like sit here before you today with six kids and five grandkids and having helped my friends raise their children and tell you I don't remember not one thing that I learned in that parenting class that had helped me to this day. That's just it was nothing that they taught me.
So you got a degree in nothing. You understand? You got a degree in nothing. I didn't mean to cut you, sweetie. I'm sorry about that. But I'm going to tell you something. How can there be a parenting class to tell you how to parent when parenting doesn't have any one way to go? And by the way, that is exactly the other thing that society needs to shut up for. Do you know how many serial killers grew up and when they asked them what made you do it, what would happen in your childhood, they had the best, most loving, most indulgent childhood?
That's right.
It's not about that. When you put your kids out the door, yeah, and listen, I have a couple of grown ones now that I have to say certain things to. Listen, society does not give a damn about your mommy or your daddy not being nice to you when you hit a certain age.
Not at all.
Listen, at some point you are now an adult that knew what it was like to feel about being under that type of parenting. You knew that it didn't feel good for you, right? So if you have a child to repeat that, whose fault is that? Your mommy and your daddy's or you? You're a full-grown adult with your own clean slate of choices to make, of a way to change the cycle, of a way to do it differently, of a way to show us parents that you could do it better than we can. Because there is no manual. So society is sitting up there, society, a group of people you'll never meet a day in your damn life. Who's never been in your house, who didn't see you when your child was spitting up or had colic and gave a damn, or was there to help you cry, or was there when your child fell down. None of them were there, but they have a whole lot of damn opinions and expertise in telling you what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this to you. You did the best you could. If you got up every day, if you could say that every day you woke up, there's things from my childhood that I felt was right way to go and the only way I knew too. Does that mean that we did it to kill our kids? Do we say F them kids when we're mad because we really mean get away from me, that I spent 36 hours just to say I don't want you around me? Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me?
That's right.
Really? My mother told my seven siblings every single day when the house was a mess after she spent all day cleaning it. I'm going to Puerto Rico and I'm leaving all of you people right here. I don't care anymore. I'm going. Bye. My mother was on a vacation with a packed, Jane Jetson bag every day. If there was space going on in there, she would have been in space and left us and been right back the next day to make us dinner. So I for years I heard that. But my mom was by herself. My dad was not anything. But my mom was by herself. And I watched that lady take any job she could and deal with public assistance. And I still had three hot meals a day while she was going out there to go wait in line, because they didn't have online payments then. They had you go up to Con Edison, you take a number, you wait in line like you go into a Michael Jackson concert with pre-sale tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got paid for paying your bill, which I think they should have with the things they charge anyway, you would have been paid for being there waiting to pay your bill.
That's right.
But my whole life my mother was leaving. I'm out of here. Bye. See you all. Goodbye. Bye. I'm leaving. All of you ungrateful kids, I'm getting out of here. Bye. Goodbye. I had the southern side on my mother, on my father's side, then the Puerto Rican side on my mother's side. So trust me when I tell you, I heard it all. And if you are not a parent, shut up. If you are society, please shut up. Take several back seats. Stop being experts on something that has no expertise from a back seat of a vehicle. You'll never have the right to have a license to drive. Shut up. And to those naysayers, that Cat Williams said, what are you upset that they hating on you for? Let haters do their job and hate. Because obviously it means you're doing something they wish they could. So I have to take a break, baby girl, because the one thing I'm going to tell you listeners, I'm sure that all of you sitting here listening to this amazing woman is getting the same feeling of privilege and me. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to call in and open up the lines for you. First, let me give my sponsors and Untitled their mention. This one is not very long at all. If you want to speak to me, those of you listening by live stream and on the telephone, you have to call the telephone line, 347-327-9967, and please press 1 so I know that you want to speak. I'm trying to give everybody a chance to, you know, ask this woman anything you'd like or let her know that she's inspired you the way that I'm inspired. And, Ima, I'm looking forward to a long network and relationship and support and sisterhood with you if that is something you are so inclined to do, because you are amazing, substantial, and you actually offer something progressive to a world that's a mess. So thank you again for honoring my panel this evening. Hang on with me, guys. This is Untitled. It's called Alliance. Now here, guys, I want you to understand what they told me this is. This is when kids are going through the chaos of course, society on them, but also suffering with mental health. But this is at the stage where, as bad as it seems, they still have a support network in place. This is called Alliance. It's one of my favorites because they actually say something to me that they've been trying to say that answered a question I had once where I said, do my kids really feel that I'm there for them? Do they really feel like I got their back? And I want y'all to hear the lyrics, and I cry every day. So this is it. Alliance, Untitled. After that, a word from our sponsor, Short. And I'll be right back to take your questions, and if not, to hear this amazing woman speak a little further. So hang on with me, okay?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I lost every battle. I didn't win the fight. When it felt like I was at the end, he shone the light. When I couldn't breathe, you were the air. When I couldn't sleep, you closed my eyes. I lost every battle.
It's when I couldn't see you were there.
That's true.
To guide me through despair. It's when I needed fixing, you repaired. Supported me on my lows. Never giving up hope. Funded me on my goals and helped me never feel alone. I'm talking family and friends. I'm talking bonds that never end. I'm talking colors when they blend. And the ones that are there when I depend. Not the ones who are there and just pretend.
I lost every battle. I didn't win the fight. When it felt like I was at the end. You shine the light. When I couldn't breathe, you were the air. When I couldn't sleep, you closed my eyes. I lost every battle, but he shone the light.
You lended me a hand when I fell to my knees and couldn't stand. When I lost control and almost crashed, you grabbed goodwill and set my path. Taught me to grow from my past, move on from those who wouldn't lie. Take your time and don't move fast. Got a family who always told me that, and a mom that's always had my back.
I lost every battle. I didn't win the fight. When it felt like I was at the end, he shone the light. When I couldn't breathe, you were the air.
So much pain, there's no more air to breathe. No hope.
want the past back, cause 21 is not the future. It's so whack, nothing here that I be missing. Lost a dad who was once living, lost a girl that I was kissing. I wanted answers, so I kept thinking, but I reached the end, so I started praying. Now the past now, can't bring back what I had then. No coronavirus, no mass friends. My love wasn't just past tense, my life wasn't full of nonsense. When fear wasn't on my conscience, they didn't use me for the content. Now I can't keep my feelings content, yeah.
Now there's an I and we. 2020 came and then we killed the peace. It's 2020, I wonder where we're quarantined. We're seeing so much pain, there's no more air to breathe. No, now there's an I and we. 2020 came and then we killed the peace. It's 2020, I wonder where we're quarantined. We're seeing so much pain, there's no more air to breathe. No, now there's an I and we. 2020 came and then we killed the peace. It's 2020, I wonder where we're quarantined. We're seeing so much pain, there's no more air to breathe. No,
The On The Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On The Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to On The Edge.
And welcome back, everybody. That was a double play from Untitled. The first one was called Alliance. And for those of you that were asking again, that was about kids going through mental illness. There's a few stages when kids are dealing with depression and it's not going treated or it's not being addressed or supported. And those of you that were here when this was first introduced, these boys were first introduced, you heard Colorless. That was the beginning stage of it's on, we're suffering. Adults are saying they're listening, but no one is. But this is what we're feeling. I don't care. I want to go out. Everybody's coming at us. The second one is Alliance, as you heard today, where they're in that mode, but they have a support group. What you heard after was something called Life Struggle, something that the boys wrote that of all the pressures of the pandemic and the horrors that brought that was brought around that time. One of them was the loss of their father. So it was something that they did. Now, there is going to be one more final break coming up where you will be hearing Colorless before we fade out because I got a request from some people. Let's get our queen back on the air, and I'm taking your calls, and we do have... We do have one caller that's coming in. Hold on. One second, I'm trying to... Ema, darling, you back?
I am here, yes, ma'am.
All right. You have your first caller coming in to either ask you something or tell you something. So hang on a bit, okay?
Okay.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Thank you for inviting me in, Katie. This is Terry. How are you doing? And welcome back, my sister.
Thank you, and welcome back to you. I hope you heard me shout you out in the beginning because you were definitely one of my pillars.
I did indeed, and I appreciate you shouting myself out and the other brothers and sisters of the village. You know, that's how it's supposed to be done. You know, we're all supposed to support each other when we can. If the burden gets a little bit too tough, I suppose our brothers and sisters can help kind of bear a little bit of that burden for us. So it's definitely good to have you back as you begin to kind of rebrand the show and get the callers back. Everybody will start to slowly realize you're back, and you'll be back to full strength real soon. How you doing, my
Thank
sister
you.
Ema? It's a pleasure to meet you.
I'm good. Thank you. You too. You too.
Now, I listened for the first hour. I didn't want to jump in. I just wanted to hear you sisters talk, but I've been listening, and I got a couple of things I just wanted to say now. You talked about the haters. You talked about the trolls that had some negative to say about your post. But the first thing I'm thinking is, you know, what happens when we subject our thoughts and our ideas to others, to social media? Well, you know, we open ourselves up. You know, we open ourselves up for both praise from those who agree and criticism from those who don't. So you just take it with a grain of salt, like I heard you say earlier. You know, I mean, me, I already know that. You know, if I, as soon as I say something, it's my First Amendment right to do so. It's supposed to be free speech. That's what America says we're supposed to have. But then when you exercise that free speech right, you got someone that says, oh, no, but you can't say that. Okay, so what's the purpose of free speech then? You see,
that's
so
right.
what you said, you said out of a relationship with your son, because your son did something that he was not supposed to do, didn't take responsibility for it, and then had the nerve to sash you and say something negative and nasty to you. So I feel where you're coming from when you say, you know what, and, you know, the little expletive you use, I know where that's coming from. You see, so you've got people that know where you're coming from. You know that. Now, the ones who have something negative to say, that's the world. You know, the world is full of immoral, corrupt, negative, nasty people.
That's
right. So you're going to hear from them. You're going to hear from them. That's just all it is to it. But none of them are you. They're not in your household. They don't know your situation. So they really should shut up. You really should be quiet. You have nothing to say, you know. And that's just all it is to it. So continue to do what you're doing. I understand the concept that you brought it from. What you're saying is, I tell you, if my son has said to me what you said to yours, I really got to wonder, would I put my hands on him? You
that's
understand?
Right.
So again, it's because if you're not in my household, you didn't raise my child, you haven't been around to give any guidance to my child, then shut your mouth trying to tell me about my child. You know, you
right.
have nothing to say. And that's the same way I feel about anybody else's household. I'm not in your household. So if you ask me, well, Terry, what would you do to my child in this situation? I was like, I can't give you an answer because I'm not their parent. So what
that's
should
right.
happen is each parent, it's really supposed to be this. Again, this is my opinion from me having lived on Earth quite a while. I've been around a little bit. The world has its point of view on parenthood, but then there's also God's point of view on
okay.
parenthood. There's two ways that you can go about raising your children. What's happening is you're being exposed to these people who are giving you the negative points of view because they're giving you the world's viewpoint on raising children, which says,
right.
let them do what they want. Don't discipline them. Don't say anything to them. Let them have their way. But the problem is you're now producing kids who are out of control, undisciplined, crying, whining, won't work, expect everything to be given to them for free. And if you say something about it, then they want to try to say something to you back, or
mm-hmm.
they want to try to get physical with you. But that's the world. That's what the world has done. You've introduced this idea of leniency to the children rather than discipline. But the way that it's supposed to be done is discipline is supposed to be involved in raising children. You can't, if you don't, you're going to get what Katie said earlier. You got a lot of kids who wind up killing people, mass shootings, suicides, serial
mm-hmm.
killing, but they were raised in a household with no discipline. Let them do whatever they want, say whatever they want. Even if you see them doing something wrong, don't say anything to them. Okay, so where is the child supposed to develop a sense of moral responsibility from then? He's not going to, or she's not going to, because you haven't set any standard for what
that's
should
right.
happen when you step out of line, when you do something wrong. But if you look in what the Holy Word says, there is discipline that's supposed to be involved in raising children. It was certainly
mm-hmm.
involved in my upbringing, and it's got me to the point. Yeah, it's got me to the point where I'm still kicking it after 60 plus years of life. I haven't killed anybody, robbed anybody, raped anybody. I haven't gone out and committed any mass crimes because my mama gave me a butt whooping. What it showed me was there's a certain order to life that I'm supposed
mm-hmm.
to got, that I'm supposed to be under. The parents set the pace. So if the parents aren't going to give you the instruction that you need when you're young to let you know this is acceptable, this is not. If you go this route where it's unacceptable, expect these consequences. You see, but
right.
if you're not giving them that, then you're going to get a kid that's going to come up and eventually say, you know what, you don't tell me what to do, and then what you're supposed to do. So
right.
I'm with you. Continue to do what you're doing. Produce your videos and produce them the way you want. You're going to have people who are going to have something to say negative. Let me give you an example. I'm going to reference a political point here. You have a guy who used to be president of the United States who's an absolute crook and corrupt as you can be. But they accept this man's ignorant behavior. But yet they want to tell you, a parent, who said, hey, you know what? I'm just feeling like, man, screw my kids. Or they want to tell you, oh, you're so wrong and you're bad and you're a bad mother and how dare you? Okay, but what about the crook that used to be president? Ain't he, why are you supporting his behavior? So this is the foolishness of the world. You see, so no, continue to do what you're doing. But if there's no discipline involved in raising children and you don't get mad at your children every now and then you're not a human being. If your children are doing something wrong, if they're doing something morally corrupt, if they're being disrespectful, you're not supposed to hold their hands and, you know, say, let's go play Ring Around the Rosie. You're supposed to deal with it. You know, it's as simple as that. That's my take on it.
Absolutely. Terry, that was awesome. Ema, you actually have another caller. Hang on with me, Terry. Okay. And Ema, 1 second.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Katie. How are you? And the remark, the crook that was in office, who's Biden? But, you know, here's the thing. I haven't heard you in a long time. This is Pianchi. How you been doing?
I know, Pianchi. I remember you. I know your voice. How are you? How are you?
I'm doing very, very fine.
Okay, nice to have you.
No, but I've seen your show. I haven't seen your show in a long time. I just dropped by to say hello. It's good
hello.
To hear that you're still living. And so many have gone. But I'm going to leave. You take care of yourself.
Oh, thanks, Bianchi. You could have something to say. You have anything to say on the topic?
No. This society, please share. Dear, I don't understand what that's all about. But,
okay, so let me give you a little bit of help. We're speaking about, I have a guest on here who put out a video on TikTok after having a hurtful conversation with her son. She put out a video expressing how children grow up to disrespect no matter how much you love them sometimes, and society puts on you that you're not supposed to feel as a parent frustration that you verbally say out loud, even though you love your children. And so that's what we're speaking on. How do you feel about the interference that society has on parenting when you say something out of frustration and people are not in your household to understand where it came from? So you're of that generation where wisdom and the village still existed. I'm the last of it. So you're welcome to speak on here if you have something to say, Bianchi.
Well, you know, I always came up under environments of a strong father, male figure in the household with a mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old cliche, how do a daughter know what to look for in a husband? And she had never seen it worked out between a father and a mother. And that's the problem. You have a circle that's been broken. And, yes, you do have young men that's being raised, and they come up with a lack of respect for authority in the household. That lack of respect for authority goes to the schools. And then it plays out in the society, community, when they have interaction with somebody who has been given authority by the state government, and that be the police. So it's just an amplification. Then it continues on and on and on and on. I don't know where it's going to stop, but it's a terrible thing. It's very, very terrible. You know, it's not that the police is bad. It's the fact that people don't have respect for authority. Now, of course, we're not saying that there isn't some bad apples, but look, the initial thing is that you have to respect your teacher. You have to respect your parents and, of course, those that have been put in authority over you. Give them their lawful respect. Then let's work it from there.
Thank you for your input, and thank you for being here and checking in on me, Bianchi. Very nice to hear from you again. Okay. All right, so... Once again, callers, we have a few more minutes to open up the panel. We can call in at 347-327-9967 if you have any questions or comments. If you're already on the stream, just press 1. If you're calling in, you have to press 1. Mothers, you clearly have to have put on this or some feeling on it. Fathers, you as well. You're not diminished from this whole thing. If not, I will allude back to you Ema, if you'd like to have any additional comments to make. If not, I can hand over to Terry and see if you have anything to expound on.
I would say, and just listening to the comments from both the gentlemen, I definitely agree to a certain extent about, you know, the fact, the impact that homes without male figures, because women, I'm a firm believer that I can't teach my son how to be a man, right?
Absolutely.
But I am a believer in discipline. Definitely as I have gotten older, probably not as much as when I was younger, but like I said in the video, like I used to get beat. My dad is Jamaican. Like I used to get beat growing up. And sometimes till I bled. And somebody told me, you was traumatized. I wasn't. The trauma is the lasting effect that can happen. It doesn't necessarily have to happen. And people have to realize that just because the situation is traumatic for you doesn't mean it's going to be traumatic for me, because people are different. And I think that's the problem that comes along. They say, oh, if you beat your kids, they're traumatized. No, they're not. We understood when you do something, you're going to get a spanking. And spanking might not look good to you, but the thing about spankings is you can tell the difference in the kids who were raised who got spankings, because even if they act a little crazy now, they're always going to come back to that which you have imparted into them from the beginning. Like, it's going to come back. Like, I have to believe that. I have to trust in it. When I grew up in New York, but I moved to Georgia when I was in the sixth grade. And when I first moved here, the principal at the school I went to, they still did paddling. I remember going in the office and he had this big old paddle and they still whooped kids. And I was dumbfounded. Like, you going to do what with that, sir? You're not going to hit me? That's me as a child, right? But I can remember, like, growing up in New York, like, my teachers used to call my dad, like, Ema's acting up today. Like, I used to see kids get beat to death in the class by their parents. And I said something in the video I wanted to expound on just a little bit. I said that I had beat my baby so bad I couldn't send her to school. And so many people were so upset about that. So I just wanted to say, no, I did not beat her black and blue. She wasn't broken or bloody or anything like that. She had a couple of welts on her leg from the belt. And I'm not trying to downplay what it was, because to me, I felt like I beat her bad, too bad. And it's because I couldn't send her to school, because if the teachers see it, now you got to deal with defects and telling you you shouldn't hit them. You shouldn't do that. And that's what it was. Like, everybody's like, you beat them bad, and that's why they hate you. They don't. They still live in my house to this day. I couldn't get rid of them if I wanted to. So I'm definitely understanding that I open myself up to people to have an opinion. That doesn't bother me. Different of opinions do not bother me. Even the people who get disrespectful don't bother me. It really doesn't. I don't get aggravated about anything except for the people who want to stand up and jump on a soapbox and they clearly didn't listen. You didn't even listen, but you want to have something to say, or you want to use this video, you want to demean this video, or you want to use this video to make a name for yourself when you have thousands of women, men saying that this helped them. How dare you? How dare you? That, to me, that's what it was. Like, how dare you diminish how I feel or tell me how I feel is wrong? Like, what gives you the right? And it'd be the same people that tell you you don't have a right to talk to them any kind of way, but they'll be the same ones trying to tell you what you need to do. So I just wanted to share that, because I want, you know, anybody who's listening, who's seen the video, it was a little disturbing to me when I went back and looked at it. I was like, dang, I was upset I was talking, but my daughter said, you didn't beat me like that. I said, well, I didn't mean it like that, but it was too much for me. So I just wanted to touch on that a little bit.
Well, let me tell you something. Even if you did at that point, let me tell you what I found. When you said it, I found that that's like a very hard thing for any parent to like actually say and acknowledge, especially coming from a day an era of corporal punishment that was not only accepted socially, but it was spread and shared in the village among people that were not blood related, like you said, paddles in the school. But for you to be able to sit up there and tell, like you said, a bunch of world that you as a mom can look back on that and say, even though I came from it and I followed it because that's all I knew, I can look back now in hindsight and say that wasn't a good thing for me to do, and I'll change that method. That takes a lot. That takes a lot. And I saw the humility in you. I saw the sheer despair and pain that only a parent or a mom could understand when you get that from your baby. I saw all that in just the way your mannerisms were and the intensity in your words and the tone behind it. Nobody understands that. Nobody understands. Like you said, there was something else you said in the middle of that, and I'm trying to remember which minute and seconds that it was in. You had said something, and I'm paraphrasing because I didn't get it quote for quote, but pretty much what you were saying is, while you're looking, you're hearing these words coming out of this most precious thing in your life to you. Like you said, I know. He's saying this to me, and I don't know about you, and I don't know if you ever watch Cat Williams. Like, he gets a little profane when he speaks. Sanity, and listen to what he's saying. There's a skit that he did where it was the Pimp Chronicles Part 1, where he was making fun of how Hollywood would do drugs right in front of you. You know, he said you'll be sitting in the around the table, and they'll say, yeah, so what we're going to do, we're going to do the movie with you. And then he sniffed and he looked up. There was a look that he gave when he was trying to tell the audience what was going through his head in that moment. There was this look that he did. And if for any of you who don't follow him, just for this 1 minute, take a look at that skit, just for what I'm saying, where he was talking about Hollywood doing drugs and how Hollywood's a whole different culture. And he put this look. He was leaning on the stool that they brought out on stage as a prop. And his eyes were squinted, where he was just staring with really squinted, like narrowed eyes. Like, did you really just, right? That I was trying to explain to people. When you're a mom and your kid, your child, the one you shared body with and brought out, has the nerve to say something like, oh my God, I don't care, so what? Before you react, the first few things you do is the narrowed eyes, the nostrils flare up, and you're silent because you're going, yeah, 36 hours in labor with you. Yeah, uh-huh. And the doctor said that you were choking on your umbilical cord, and I remember crying, bro. I was crying. No, not only was I crying, I couldn't breathe. I have PTSD to this day, still thinking about you. And what did you say? I remember them asking me, do I want to be okay or should I save my baby? And I told them, if the push comes to shove, I've already had my time. Please spare my baby. And this is why I wasted that chance. You, what?
That's right.
And then while you're thinking that, you're hurting in the same circle of thought in your head. You're hurting, you're angry, you're like, you have the audacity, and then you're hating yourself for feeling that way. Nobody understands that all that is going on at the exact same time, like a damn tornado funnel. You know, there's another one. Those of us, I'm telling my age, and I don't really care. Whatever you think, I'm 25 for life. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, he comes out, and it's like, you ever see that commercial when they're trying to push the, there's this, like this college university to let you know that there's always time to go back to college? And it goes, I don't have a job because I didn't go to school. I didn't go to school because I didn't have a degree. I didn't have a degree because I don't have a job. Then it goes all around, and then it says, stop, get off the circle. You can go to Columbia University. Or whatever it is, whatever the school was. That's what goes through our head. Wait a minute. I love this kid, but he just said this. I was in labor 36 hours. Why did I do that? What? Oh, my God, I'm his mother. How could I feel like this? But I do feel like this. How dare he talk? You're going through all of that before you even respond.
Mm-hmm.
And then after all of that circling, this is what comes out. What the hell did you just say to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If I could go back 15 years or 11 years, or when you have to come out and call them by their full name, middle name included, and one of mine has two middle names because I couldn't decide which one I liked more, so I just hyphenated it and gave it to them. So I'm like, you know, blank, 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 last name, what? Let me explain this to you, and then you go into this whole political speech. Did you just say this? And then, you know, do you ever get to that point where, you know, you start, like, you know, trying to show off all your credentials as the magic mom because you know that they could never do it. They couldn't even plan 1 hour of what you could do if you gave them 48 hours to do it.
But, you know,
husbands,
like,
included.
When you think about it, like, 15 years ago, if one of my children would have said something crazy, I would have throat punched them. Like, that would have been my reaction. And it's about being better. Like, I don't want my reaction to be, I don't want to have to put my hands on nobody for my own self because I want to be better. I'm trying to be better. And you said something. I think that we do ourselves a huge disadvantage when we don't have honest conversations, especially with ourselves. So
yeah.
I'm going to always be honest and transparent because that's how I live with myself. I don't lie to myself. I have been taking off my rose-tinted glasses and put them up on the shelf. I don't have a problem saying, yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I made a mistake. Yeah, too bad. And I think that we have just gotten to a place in the world where no one wants to be vulnerable. No one wants to say I made a mistake. No one wants, everybody wants to think that they are just the authority and they know how to do every single thing. And that's not the case. And when we don't have those honest conversations, when we don't say, dang, I messed up a little bit. Dang, I was, maybe I was a bullshit parent. Excuse my mouth. Like, it's certain things, only you know your story as a mother. Only I know my story as a mother. Like, even other people can have their input, but only we know. We know what we really went through, what we really, you know, had to deal with. And it's not about looking at it from our perspective. And I was telling the ladies, they were saying, you know, how do they get to a place? And the very first thing I did was we had a truth circle, me and my children. And I let them know you can say whatever you want to say in the circle. Like, if you feel like you need to curse, say whatever you need to say, and I'm going to listen. And I'm going to listen, whatever you feel like your grievances are, whatever. And this is after they were all adults. And my youngest one was probably about 17 at the time. So they weren't little kids. They was older, you know. Whatever you feel like the problem is, let's talk about it. So I sat there, and it was the most hurtful thing I have ever done in my life because I had to sit there and listen to six people that I have given everything in me to give to. I have gave them. I have gave them more than I could even imagine being able to have given them. And I had to sit there and listen to them basically tell me that I wasn't shit. Everything I had gave them wasn't enough. And it hurt. It hurt bad. I cried. But what I did not do was interrupt. I listened. I let them say whatever they need to say. And then I went around and I said, I apologize that I was not in this space what you needed me to be. But what I need you to understand is I was everything that I was capable of being. But I'm sorry that you feel like you missed out on X, Y, and Z. So let's fix that now. So one thing I don't do is I don't continue to apologize. We're not going to keep going back to that. We talked about it. It's been put to bed. Because you had the area and the space to speak on whatever you need to say. And I listened. I heard you. I made sure I repeated it to you so you can know I heard you. And I made my apologies. But what I will not do is allow you or anybody to beat me over my head or to abuse me with who I used to be. Or abuse me with what I have been through, or abuse me with mistakes I made. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to apologize, and we're going to move forward as adults. And I think that's, for me, that's the bottom line. Like, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest and understand that no matter how good of a job you feel like you did as a parent, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, you have failed your children. That is just what happens. And if anybody say, oh, I ain't never failed my kids, they are delusional. Because in some way, I bet if we talk to your kids, they will tell you a way that they feel failed until they have kids. And then they're going to understand everything you did and every reason you had to do it, and they're going to make the same thing. They're going to do the same things, and they're going to probably make the same kind of decisions and mistakes. That's just how the life cycle goes. So I just wanted to share that. Like, you have to be honest with yourself. Everybody take them rose-tinted glasses off and realize sometimes that you are the problem. That sometimes we are the problem. It's okay.
And sometimes your kids just don't understand that it wasn't that you were trying to be a problem, but you did the best you could do with the supplies you had at the time. So you can apologize that they felt that way, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what it was. But there are things that you could look back on. Now, we are getting low on time, so there's two things I need to say. There are two. I always have a research reference article that I do with my topic. So I want – this one is for you, Ima. I want you to go look at an article that was written on August 1st, 2017 to a website that is called prettyandbabyfood.com. The name of it is Parenting is Hard and Our Society Makes It That Much Harder. You really need to read that in full because that is you to the letter, something you need. The second one is a New York Times article on February 4th, 2021 called How Society Has Turned Its Back on Mothers. That's something I need for all of you that's listening. New York Times, February 4th, 2021, prettyandbabyfood.com. August 1st, 2017. Now, I have a double play to end out on the show. I'm going to come back with our closing remarks, and then I want to thank you again, all of you amazing people. And you've had a full queue listening in to you tonight, Ima, just to let you know. People value what you say because we've all walked it. Just give me out for Untitled. First one is Colorless because it's backed by, I guess, popular demand with people who were on this before. This is what they're saying, that when you are in the onset and in the midst of untreated, unaddressed, and unrecognized depression from your kids, while you're saying that you're doing it, this is what they're thinking. Second one is sort of like a little sarcastic thing where they're saying, great, y'all are all saying that I'm good, I'm not, but you know what, I'll put up a smile for you and everything's great, but everything really sucks. So Colorless is first, Everything's Great, Untitled is the band. When I get back, closing remarks, and we will be saying goodnight to all of you.
I'm scared that these thoughts destroyed my health. I'm locked in the dark and I can't get out. I'm afraid of these demons that feed in my doubts. but I messed up, can't stand up. Waiting is the key, so I'm told I don't wanna die. Live alone or have hurt when I'm old, can I wait? No. And right now I'm questioning if I can go on. My brain will blister, he's just a boy, but them dark thoughts took away his joy. While the devil sits and plays him like a toy. While the boy is gone, consider no better. The devil sits and writes his letter to another kid who was also lost. He manages to get his favorite sweater as he puts him in your place, or at least what he told you. Made you believe you were best friends to the very end, but you're not. Ooh, yeah. I need help for myself. Can anyone help me? I'm in a dark place, dark time. Can anyone save me? All these demons in my head, I feel like I can't fight.
Haunted in the shadows, in my mind, it's a battle.
And I'm using it to the fullest, but I'm still fighting these demons. Hey, now you know.
Now you do. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, but most times I feel like I have love. And I question if it's ever enough, cause there's a space and it can't be filled up. Yeah, everything's great. Yeah, everything's great. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, yeah. Everything's great. I put on a face so I don't scare you. It's small, but I'm still going through it too. I make believe that everything's great, but we're all humans and we all make mistakes. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, but most times I feel like I have love. And I question if it's ever enough, cause there's a space and it can't be filled up. Yeah, everything's great. Yeah, everything's great. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, yeah. Everything's great. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, but most times I feel like I have love. And I question if it's ever enough, cause there's a space and it can't be filled up. Yeah, everything's great. Yeah, everything's great. Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped up, yeah. Everything's great.
Welcome back, everybody. This is our final words. So, Ima, Terry, I want to thank both of you for, well, you've put regality on my throne today. Thank you so much for that, for everything that you're doing. Keep your head up. Leave naysayers in their spot to be a naysayer. That's their job. You speak for real people who go through real things with real struggles, with real needs to find each other. And that is something I'm going to tell you right now, that it's service and servitude from God, because you can only speak on what you went through to know how to get through the other side and what happens in between. You can't tell a lie or pretend that you know what it's like to struggle with drugs if you've never tried a drug. So I want to thank you for being here for me, and, you know, to grace my presence and my listeners as well. Mr. Banks, as usual, thank you so much for everything that you have done in your community and what you've loaned to us to make us better as well. for the rest of you, society has no place, and I've always said this, no place in the home of the intimacy of parenting. Parenting is something that is supposed to be unique and diverse to everyone who's had a role in it. Now, of course, if you see someone taking a bat and banging and bashing their kid's head in, that's splitting open their head or something like that, we know what abuse is. We know what malicious intent is. Then you step in. That's what a village is for. You don't know if that parent is overwhelmed and doesn't know what to do because everyone that he or she has tried to go to is not helping. They're just sitting there and pointing fingers and not trying to figure out what the problem is. But none of that counts because at the end of the day, your children are everything to you. People don't understand that, but we were humans before parents. We have the right to feel in the moment that, what am I doing? I wish this was different. Nobody wants to be in this position. But after that, we're right back at it. So society, you don't know our unique situations. You don't know what the solution is. You're not offering any solutions. And if you're not a solution, you are part of the problem. So do me a favor and shut up. Till Wednesday, what's today? Today, oh, sorry, Thursday. Sorry, guys. Till Monday, I'll be back on Monday. Be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Instead of having something to add to the fuel of the fire, do me a favor. Come with some water and put it out. So Ima, you are welcome here at all times, and I will be having you back and be supporting you all throughout. Everybody head over, I believe, on TikTok. How do I get to you, Ima?
At the Coach Ima.
Okay, so on TikTok, it's at the Coach Ima. So it's one long word, at the Coach and Y-M-A at the end. All your content needs to be accessed, Ma, because somebody is going to learn from it. And thank you ever so much for being here today. And to all of you on the panel, thank you, Muhammad. I see you. Terry, thank you for hanging with me. Ima, can you please give me 10 minutes to talk to you after this show airs off, okay? So
okay.
To the rest of you, be blessed, be a blessing, and I will see you here Monday night with the next topic, okay? Good night.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.